Well, first, I really want to thank Richard and the elders for giving us the opportunity, us being the brothers, and the opportunity to teach the Proverbs class. Really want to thank Gary Robeson for talking to us and putting the idea together. And it was good to look at Proverbs this way. I usually go through chapter 1, then chapter 2, then chapter 3, and just work through each and every one of them. But to actually break it down into subject matter and to study out this way and look at a bunch of scriptures and also try to include some other scriptures from other parts of the Bible to go along with it, it really helps to dig deep. And that's the thing that we have to do within the Word of God, is to really dig deep. And so this is the last class. Excited, yet sad. I kind of have mixed feelings because I really have enjoyed the 9 weeks and getting the opportunity to teach it. And we've gotten some really positive, encouraging responses, which shows that God's working. Yeah. And really I pray more than anything that God really works through each and every one of us that we're doing it and a spirit to work. And so tonight in the last lesson, talking about self-control is discipline of the temple. Okay? Discipline of the temple. God calls for us to live a disciplined life. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? That we must take care of the temple God has given us." Amen. So to do that, we're going to look at several different aspects and different ways about discipline. One, we're going to look at understanding God's discipline. I think that's very important. But then we're going to talk about three aspects of discipline for ourselves: discipline of the mind, discipline of the body, and then discipline of the spirit. Because the mind, the body, and spirit makes up who we are. Amen? At this time, before we begin, let us pray. Father, I thank you so much for your mercy and your kindness. Thank you, God, so much for creating us to be who we are. Thank you so much for putting us right here at this time in our lives. No matter what's going on, you are working and shaping and helping us to become who you want us to become. I pray so much that this lesson will go a long way in helping us to do that. I pray, God, we will understand your discipline, understand the discipline of the mind, body, and spirit, and that we will grow tremendously. I pray for your spirit to work powerfully through me at this time and through our hearts at this time, that we really will gather and learn what you really want us to learn tonight. Thank you so much once again for this opportunity. Thank you so much, God, for you just loving us enough to be able to teach us to be more like you and to be more like Jesus. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First, let's start looking at Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to start in the second part of verse 5. And we're going to start looking at understanding God's discipline. And in Hebrews 12, in the second part of verse 5, it says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Calls it here in the scripture that we have to endure hardship as sons. That you are not sons and daughters if you are not disciplined by God. And that's very convicting to think about that, because it said that you won't be a son or daughter if you don't undergo discipline. And my dad had, and he'd get his voice like Mufasa, where my dad would only say a few things. "Boy, you need to sit down. You know, quick. Or he'd go, where's my belt? Oh, that was a real thing. My mom was constant, the constant disciplinarian. And my mom believed in swift justice. She didn't want to sit you down and talk to you and see how you were feeling and ask you about your emotions. She just whipped you. Where's the belt? Where's the slipper? I get my hands on quick. That's what I got to get. And she'll talk to you where she does it. And I tell you, and I'm like, please don't talk long, because the longer you talk, the more licks I get. Make it quick. And then one time I thought, I'm tired of this. I'm not going to cry. Took me about 5 seconds. Like, oh, no, it's not going to last long. Oh, no, please stop it. Discipline. And you know what? I hated it. I hated the discipline. But you know what? I thank God for it. Amen. I praise God for it. I saw many of the guys in my neighborhood who parents kind of let them do whatever they wanted to do. And I thought, wow, I really would love my parents to be that way. Let me do whatever I want to do. Let me just go ahead and, you know, that's how discipline me. Let me just go ahead and feel free. I want to stay outside till 12 o'clock at night. Then what's the worst that could happen? Let me do that. But I thank God for it. And you know what? If it hadn't been for those times of discipline, then when I had gotten in college and I was reached out to, I don't know if I would have wanted to. I'd have been carefree living my life the way I wanted to live it for so long. Why change it? Why stop now? That was God working through that. And God setting up the times and the places when I was there for him to reach out to me and for me to accept it, because God had been disciplining me all along and used my parents to be able to do it. Amen. That's what God does to us. He disciplines us. It talks about, in verse 10, it says, God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. So, no discipline, no holiness. Without God's discipline, there's no holiness. There's no way that you could become more like God without the discipline. Help to change our perspective about discipline and help change our perspective about undergoing discipline. Because discipline produces a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who love it. So, no discipline, no peace. No discipline, no harvest of righteousness. There's a lot of things that go into discipline. But we think about, why do we fight it so much? It's hard. It's very hard. But you know, the times that I grow the most are the times when I am undergoing that discipline. Amen. Going through the tough times, fighting through, being honest to God about how I feel, working through it, fighting, talking to brothers, asking people to pray for me, just fighting and fighting and fighting through it, just agonizing and just keep going through it, just the growth that happens. If my heart really wants to be trained by it, I can go the rebellious route and fight God on it, but what lesson is learned? What righteousness is learned? What holiness is learned? None of that happens if you just continue to fight it. But by humility and really humbling and say, okay, God, what do I need to learn from this? Help me to learn. Help me to grow. Help me to become more like Jesus. That's when the discipline works. But it takes the heart to really accept it. And it's not easy. Don't want to accept it at first. But it's something, if you want to grow, you have to accept it. Let's look at some other scriptures on that. Let's go to Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs 3, and in verse 11, it says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. It says, don't fight it. Don't fight the discipline. And don't despise it. And there is, you get to the heart of, we really start hating the discipline. I hate it. I just want good times. I want this time to end. I want the good times. But you have to undergo the discipline. And it's funny because I remember being a disciple and becoming a disciple, I always thought about that. I just think it's always going to be peaceful. Hakuna Matata. That means no worries. According to Lion King. That's what I wanted. Where now I've gotten baptized, that everything should be easy. I should just flow through life. No difficulties, no hard times. Everything just flows through. How much of a spoiled brat would I be if that's the way life was? It'll get to the point where I don't need God. I'm cruising along. I'm doing fine all by myself. You know, I haven't really thought about God in a while. But look at my life. It's going pretty smooth. I just got to show up for church. I just got to read my Bible, and God will make my life smooth. Don't have to learn any lessons. Don't have to treat people right. Don't have to become like Jesus. No, that's not the way it works. So my dream was crushed, but that's all right. God is also, God taught me quick that no, that's not the way life is going to work. No Hakuna Matata for you. That's not the way it works. Let's look at Proverbs 10. And in verse 17. It says, he who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction lead others astray. And that's tough, that if you ignore correction, you will lead others astray. And that counts for us too, disciples, that we can go and really fight and try to help someone to become like Jesus. But we don't want to be like the Pharisees, where Jesus said, you are going and you're making them twice the son of hell as you are. Don't want to do that. But we have to not fight discipline, because that's what would happen. You lead others astray. Look in Proverbs 12:1. It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I think that one says enough itself. Let's look at Proverbs 15. And in verse 10, it says, stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. He who hates correction will die. Very tough one, but it is so true. That God really tries to save us from so many things, from so many disasters. But you can't hate correction, or you will die. Maybe you might not die physically initially, but you will die spiritually, to the point you will die. Look at the last one we'll look at is verse 32 of chapter 15. It says, he who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. You're hating yourself by resisting discipline, because you're resisting what God has in store for you. That God wants to take you from this place and help you to grow to this place. But if you hate discipline, you will never get there. You're only destroying your life by resisting discipline. So you're hating yourself. And what's so ironic, and what where Satan works, is you really feel like you're really loving yourself, because you're trying to protect yourself from undergoing discipline, from undergoing hard times. And so you resist it, just trying to make your life easier and happier and all of that, when really you're hating yourself because you're keeping yourself from growing and getting to the point that God wants to get you to. And ultimately, where God wants to get you to is heaven. Which goes back, once again, no discipline, no holiness. No discipline, no seeing God. Have to undergo the discipline. So that's what we're talking about understanding God's discipline. But I think there are ways that God really calls for us, through his power, for us to discipline ourselves. Let's look at discipline of the mind. And we'll start there as looking at our whole body. But we'll start in Proverbs 12, and in verse 8, it says, a man is praised according to his wisdom, but men with warped minds are despised. to pair with this, let's look at Romans chapter 12. And this will go right along with this. In Romans 12, and starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." First, God is talking about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. The scripture in Proverbs talks about having a warped mind. You know what? Being in the world will give you a warped mind. The way the world thinks is very warped. At one time, in growing up, and how the world just changed the perception, as I grew up, homosexuality was not tolerated at all, period. By the time I became more in it, that middle school age, I was in the 80s, the AIDS scare, where homosexuality was not tolerated whatsoever. In fact, it was hated. In fact, it was go and hurt them and kill them because they deserve it. That's warped, because that's hatred. So the world realizing that it's wrong to hate in that way, let's go and swing the other way. And now let's accept you're born this way. You can't help it. That's the way that you were born. You can't accept being that way. We need to accept everybody. Even the churches have decided to accept it too. To come as you are, it don't matter. Don't worry about repenting of that. We understand it's just the way that you were born. We accept it. And churches now, some of them even accepting ministers to be that way too. And some will say you can't be married, but you could be gay. I don't understand that, but really don't make sense. But that's the warped mind. That's the warped mind of the world. And that's that way with the world on so many different things. About greed. Greed is good until greed starts hurting everybody. Now greed is bad. Because just recently, greed has become bad. At one time, greed was great. Greed was awesome. Great. Greed will get you somewhere. Greed will get you this huge house. Now greed will get you out of that house. Greed is bad. Greed is awful. Don't be greedy. Get those that are greedy. Put them in prison for a long time. Put them with the murderers. How awful they are. They've destroyed people's lives. Get rid of the greed. That's the world. It's just warped. And then I'm sure that there'll be some time where something will happen and then all of a sudden greed will become good again. And we'll go back to that. That's the world. So, right here is talking about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to have your mind changed. Amen. All of us, as we were in the world, we thought like the world, we behaved like the world, we act like the world, we were part of the world. Now we have to be separate from the world. Have to think differently the way the world thinks. Can't go along with that. Can't do it. And it's very convicting, and sometimes you can stand alone. Like, was very challenging is that I was going to lunch, and one of the branch vice presidents in another state, he came in, and he was working in our branch at one time. I said, "Hey, you want to go to lunch?" "Yeah, I'll go to lunch with you." "Okay, a couple other guys come to lunch." "That's fine, we'll all go to lunch." And so all of a sudden, we're just driving, and then he turns into the Hooters parking lot. I'm thinking, I know we're not going to Hooters. We can't. So I was in the back seat and said, "Are we going to Hooters?" "Yes, we're going to Hooters." "Ooh, they have good wings." I said, "I'm sorry, I can't go. I can't do it." "Oh, whatever. Whatever with that. This is where we going." I said, "Listen, according to my convictions, my religious convictions, I can't go to this place." He said, "Well," and this was the executive, told me, "Well, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm not driving you back to the office You're going to have to walk back to the office. But we're going to Hooters. So I'm thinking, okay, God, all right, what in the world is this? I thought this ended in high school. You know, I thought the peer pressure ended. And so I'm in a parking lot, and I'm like, listen, I cannot go. My religious convictions, I can't go. One of the guys said, I'm Jewish, so all religions are worship. All religions are represented here. And this was not the manager. So I'm thinking, Lord, what in... So the first inkling, Satan's like, go off on him. Tee off on him. And you know, you have a right to do it. And I thought, Lord, okay, 1 Corinthians, I got to find a way out. I have to find a way out. What's my way out? What's my way out? So I went toward the restaurant, and that's when I said, okay, who's the most reasonable one? So I pulled the executive aside. I said, listen, I cannot go in this place. I cannot be here. And he must have looked at me because my eyes must have been this big as I was talking to him. And that's when he said, fellas, come on. Joseph is serious. He's serious about this. So we end up going, and we end up going over, and we end up going to Chili's. Waitress is dressed decent. Like, okay, now I can have some wings. It's fine. Okay? But I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, what in the world are you thinking? Going to Hooters? We have all kind of human resources policies. How wrong is this? And I thought if I could appeal to him about the religious aspect, it would change his mind. But to them, Hooters is fine. It's every other establishment. It's just that the women wear less. And that's all right, because I go to worse places. I guess is what they're thinking. But that's the world that we live in.
That's
right. So it talks about the renewing of our minds.
Right.
Have to renew our minds. Because it's a battle. And it's a fight. But we have to renew our minds. That we can't think the same way we did. We can't handle things the same way we used to handle them. Mm-hmm. And have to really pray to God in the Spirit on all occasions. Like I said, I was going to lunch. I wasn't thinking that I was going to have that kind of spiritual battle going on. But a scripture came to mind quick. I was like, Lord, you got to have a scripture come to mind quick. Because I'm getting out of this situation, but I don't want it to get uglier. But my point has to get across. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and in verse 20, it says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Once again, talks about holiness. You know what? Renewing of our minds is an everyday decision.
Yeah.
And that's what I've learned. I struggle, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? Well, I'm not coming to the conviction that every day I have to have my mind renewed. It's not just about having the quiet time in the morning. It's not just about having my prayer time in the morning. It's about walking with God all day,
Amen.
Each and every day, praying to him several times a day.
Amen.
And that's what I've learned. I'm not strong enough to live off a quiet time in the morning and think that's going to help me and just going to sustain me the rest of the day. Maybe you are. I'm not. I'm not strong enough. I have to rely on God all day.
Amen.
Pray to him several times a day. And it's helped me tremendously. But really have to pray. Because all kinds of situations come up and all kinds of different ways that Satan tempts and try to make things happen and try to destroy things. Even there's ways that I intentionally don't mean to hurt anybody, that I end up hurting somebody because I'm just being me. And being me sometimes is being unrighteous. So therefore, I say, God, I need you to create a new me. have my mind renewed each and every day and make that decision to have my mind renewed each and every day. And that's important. Not only that, but then you go concentrate so much on emptying your mind that you have to make sure you fill it up with something. Fill up your mind with God. Fill up your mind with Jesus. Fill up your mind with positive thoughts, encouraging thoughts. Philippians 4 talks about that. Once again, as we talked about last week, as a disciple, that's the way we should be. Shouldn't walk around empty and fighting and battling. I got to be righteous, be righteous, be righteous, be righteous. Holy, 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 holy. And fighting, battling. Get on the offense. So you know what? I'm going to have victories.
Amen.
Instead of me walking around protecting myself and holding myself, have victories. I want to be victorious. I want to be able to say I've overcome. I want to say that I've been encouraged. I want to say that I've been blessed. To look for those things and go through life looking for those things, looking for those encouragement. God gives it to us every day. We have to open up our minds and open up our hearts to see it. But that's a part of renewing the mind. Because once again, we talked about last week, the world is negative. The world looks at things and just want to point to the negative stuff. And in the world, you can't win. But as a disciple, we can be different and have a different mindset.
Amen.
As we go throughout the day. And people could wonder, why in the world are you happy? What do you have to be happy for? Which you have to be grateful for. There's your time to share. There's your time to open up and share what's going on. And I know each and every one of us have our challenges. In the holiday season, each and every one of us have our challenges. But there's still things to be encouraged by.
Right.
To concentrate and think about those things. And be encouraged by those things. Look at another aspect of discipline. Discipline of the body. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll look at a few proverbs. In Proverbs 3 and in verse 7, it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." What a way to be able to help you discipline your body and to help your body. By fearing the Lord and shunning evil. That brings health to your body and nourishment to your bones. How happy and encouraged do you feel when you're being that way? In Proverbs 4 and in verse 20, it says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." It talks about, once again, bringing health to a man's whole body. But it says you have to listen closely to the words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keeping God's word within your heart. That helps you to have your body healed and keep your body in great shape and healed. Look in Proverbs 14. In 14 and verse 30, it says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." A heart at peace gives life to the body. We're only going to find that peace through Jesus.
That
is it. The only way we're going to have our anxieties truly cast off is through Jesus and asking him to take on our anxieties, take on our fears, take on the things that are disturbing us, that are bothering us. That's the only way that we're going to have peace. That's the only way that our body will stay healed. Without that, it destroys the body. I know for me, I'm worried and I'm upset. I don't want to eat. My stomach's upset. I have a headache. I don't feel good. I'm run down. I don't feel well. And all it is internal stress.
That's right.
It's all it is, and stress is tearing me from the inside out. Taking away my peace. And then everything disturbs me. Everything. And I'm just bothered. Just annoyed and just on edge. That's the way just go through life. And that's the way I end up feeling. But to bring that peace truly through Jesus, then that's where you could truly have peace. And you can walk around and your body will be healed. And that's what Jesus wants us to be. That's the way he wants to walk around. That's why he said to cast your anxieties. Because in looking at discipline before, we will go through those times. And we're going to have those times. We will be challenged. But those are the times that we could cast that on Jesus and still be at peace. And people can wonder what's going on with you if you could be at peace, even though I know the turmoil that you're going through. But you're still at peace, though. I don't understand that. Help me to be able to have that. That's what God wants us to have. Also, remembering once again in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that your body is a temple to take care of yourself. Eat healthy. Exercise. Deal with your high blood pressure, your diabetes, your cholesterol. Get the rest that you need. Deal with those things. Because I know when I'm sick, I'm not my best. I'm not my best for God. I'm not the best for his church. I'm not the best for my wife, my son, for my job, for everything else that's around me. I am not my best. So what I have to do, I have to work on things and to really try to get to be my best. And the thing about it is that when I'm exercising, I feel better. I have more energy. I feel more alert. And yes, I want to eat all the bad food. I grew up in New Orleans. Gumbo, red beans and rice, you know, etouffee, all that stuff. Those are food groups. Those are great food groups. I love it. But I thank God that he took me away from that at 18. Because like if I was still 39 and I was in New Orleans, I'd be in a world of trouble. Because it's hard trying to find a healthy place in New Orleans. It's real hard. You got to go search for it. My wife one time went in a restaurant looking for juice, for cranberry juice. What? Nah, baby. We don't have that. We have some root beer and some Coke and some Sprite. There's none of that. But when you eat that way and you do those things, you're really taking care of yourself, and you're encouraged by it, and you're healing yourself. And that's the important part. And you know what? And God wants you to be as healthy as you can be. To be healthy as you can in your situation. Whatever that situation is, God wants you to be as healthy as you can be in that situation. And if God wants you to be in a healthy situation, he'll move you to that. But you have to be as healthy as you can to be in that. Because then you can really give your best. And God expects us and demands for us to give our best to him. To really, really give our best. And that is important. And that's what he calls for us to do. So that's looking at discipline of the body, which takes not only the mind, but also takes just taking care of our bodies, period. Let's look at discipline of the spirit. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8, and in verse 1. And I'll read a little bit. I think this is very, very important. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. God, first thing about Satan is that Satan wants us to follow him. And Satan doesn't want you to trail too far behind him. He wants you to be right next to him as he guides you and leads you to all the paths of destruction. And Satan wants to continue to lead. And if you start to drift and try to do things God's way, Satan will try to drag you back and have you follow him. That's what Satan is doing, just leading and leading and leading. That's why your mind becomes more and more corrupt as you follow Satan. And wake up one day and wonder, why did I even do that? I never thought I would do this. I never thought I would go this far. But Satan is leading you down that path and continues to lead you down that path. Well, as a disciple, you're no longer following Satan, but you're following Jesus and following the Spirit that lives in us. And by that Spirit, we have to say no, have to say no to ungodliness. But you know what? It takes that same thing that the Spirit leads us. Like it talks about in Galatians 5:25, where it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Right. We have to keep in step with the Spirit. And you know, for a long time, I always thought about keeping in step with the Spirit really had to do with sharing my faith. That if I'm intimidated, but the Spirit is really calling for me to share my faith with that person, I need to do that. If the Spirit is calling for me to share my faith in a certain way, but I'm intimidated, for me to still push through and do it. That's following the Spirit. That's part of it. Here's what I think is really about following the Spirit. Have an argument with your spouse. And neither one of you are right. But the Spirit is telling you, you know what? You're wrong. You need to go and apologize. Why have to be the one to apologize? Why always got to be the one to apologize? Why can't she come to me? In fact, who's more wrong? She's more wrong than I am. I'm like a little bit, but I'm reacting off of her. She was the one that was wrong. So you know what? The way it should be is that whoever's the most wrong should be the one to apologize. That sounds right. Somewhere in the scriptures that say that. That whoever's the most wrong is the one that should apologize. And that's the one that should do it. And so I'm thinking, okay, now it's time to go to bed. And you know, he said the sun shouldn't go down. Well, but it's on them. Because I want to get right. I want to be right. I'm trying to be right. I'm trying to be right. I'm trying to have righteousness. But her, she the one that's keeping it from being that way. So therefore, you know, can't do that. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to pray by myself. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to spend my time praying for her to change and for her to get right. The Spirit is leading you to do what's right. The Spirit is leading you to apologize. You resist the Spirit, then you're stepping out. You're not keeping in step with the Spirit. You're letting your pride get in there. And you know what? And Satan is just having a field day and leading you on. That's right. You tell her. That's right. You be that way. Who's the man? Who's the man? You're the man. That's right. And just feeding you and feeding you and feeding that ego. You know? And the sisters could think the man needs to lead. And so therefore, he needs to be the one to apologize. He needs to lead this house spiritually. The Bible says for him to lead the house spiritually. So therefore, I'm not apologizing first. I'm letting him do it. And if he don't do it, then it's on him because he's not leading the house so spiritually. Are we really keeping in step with the Spirit? The Spirit is leading us to do things that are righteous. Sometimes what's even harder are our kids. Knowing that we're wrong, knowing the way we spoke to them, knowing that we were unloving, knowing that we were exasperating them. But it's like, if they didn't do that wrong, if they didn't do that, if they'd listened to me, then I wouldn't have to apologize. And I'm a parent, I should be able to talk to them any kind of way. I should be able to do that. And that's fine. And my wife is great at picking that. And out for me, like, you know what? You really didn't talk that. You really weren't talking lovingly. And I'm thinking, but man, no, this shouldn't. And then like, and I'm just fighting and battling. And like, and my pride is just like, but I'm the dad. They need to respect me. And I can't have them acting no any kind of way. Because I'm not going to have that in my house. And the pride is there. And then I keep on thinking about how I'm right. But I'm right to do that. The Bible calls for me to discipline my children. I need to do that. But there's a way to do it. There's a way to be righteous. And there's a way to even in rebuking, there's a way to do it. And I'm thinking, okay, I need to be humble. I need to say I'm sorry. And really make it about me saying I'm sorry versus turning it on them and making it about them. Hard to do. Very hard to do. Sometimes the hardest thing on the earth, especially when you're upset anyway over what was done. But if we're going to keep in step with the Spirit, then that's what we have to do. In our relationships, every way and everything, we have to keep in step with the Spirit. That's what we're talking about by the discipline of the Spirit. And you know, as you stay in step with the Spirit, then God keeps leading you and keeps growing. And you keep on having those victories. And then the struggles that you were having, all of a sudden you overcome them. And then you go on to bigger and better things because God keeps you growing and growing and moving and moving. That's what the Spirit will allow you to do. But if you don't, then you're stuck there. Or worse, like it talks about in Hebrews, where you start to drift. And it becomes that. It's like the waves where you can look and you're on the ocean. You wonder, how in the world did I get here in the middle? I'm going to church. I'm having my quiet times. How in the world am I this unspiritual? You got to think about, have I been keeping in step with the Spirit? Or have I just been going off and going on my own way and what I think is the best way versus what God says is the best way? Because the Spirit works powerfully and the Spirit leads us each and every day in so many different ways. But if we don't stay in step with it, then it will destroy us. It will weaken our minds. It will weaken our bodies. It will destroy us. That's why he gave us the Spirit. And it becomes a decision where we're going to follow one of two. We're either going to follow the Spirit or we're going to follow the sinful nature. There's no neutrality where I'm just not following neither. You will follow one or the other. Which one will you follow? Which one you will give in to? Which one will you allow to work through your life and work powerfully in your life? Will you allow the Spirit to do that? Will you allow God and Jesus and just all of that to really help to lead you and guide you through it? And the thing about it is that God has given us the Spirit. God has given us the strength. But really, we have to pray for the heart. Have the heart to do it. So, in closing, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." really want to encourage us to let, for us to use the power of God that that God has given us so that we can have discipline of our mind, discipline of our body, and discipline of the spirit, and really make sure that we understand and know the discipline that God undertakes us so that we can really grow and also to be holy just as God is holy. Amen? Amen.